You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
Good morning, church. It is great to be with you today. It's an exciting day because we are celebrating all that God did last week at summer camp. And hands up if you were a youth at summer camp or a young adult at summer camp last week. Hands nice and high. So many, majority on this side. A few are this side as well. It was such an amazing time of just, obviously it's wonderful to spend time together and build community, but most importantly to see God move in a mighty way. And there's going to be some pictures coming up behind me where you see many different things. Just a small snapshot of what happens on camp. But we just really want to firstly say thank you. We want to say thank you to all of you, and you're going to hear some testimonies shortly of what God did on camp. And that's just a small glimpse of many, many testimonies coming out of this week.
So, hi guys, my name is Charlotte and I have been going to Frontline Youth since year 7, so 2023 for me. And I don't know if you guys have been feeling lazy over the holidays, but I know I have been feeling very lazy over the holidays. And over these holidays, I went through a season where I didn't really feel God's presence. I still believed in Him and I still knew He was real, but I just felt spiritually distant. My prayers felt quiet and worship didn't hit the same, and I felt kind of stuck. I think sometimes we could speak more about how common it is that when you love God, you can still go through seasons where you don't feel close to Him. The Bible actually talks about this. In James 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." That verse really stood out to me because even when we feel far away, God isn't the only one who moved. He's always ready to meet us where we are and when we take a step towards Him. When I got to youth camp, I didn't come with huge expectations. I hoped something would change in my heart. One of my youth leaders prayed for me, and during that prayer, I felt a deep sense of relief and peace wash over me. It honestly felt like a weight lifted off me that I didn't even realize I was carrying. For the first time in a while, I could actually feel God's presence again. I didn't just know about him in my head, but I knew about him in my heart, and I felt his closeness. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's exactly what it felt like, a sense of peace that didn't need explaining. God met me right where I was. That same night, I had a dream where I saw a hand reaching out to me. It didn't feel scary or confusing. It just felt calm and safe. I didn't fully understand what it meant at first, but it stuck with me. Then, on the last night of camp, while we were worshiping and praying, I had a vision of the same hand again, but this time it was closer. As I was worshiping, I also felt a heaviness in my hands. It wasn't uncomfortable or weird. It just felt meaningful, like God was doing something deeper that I couldn't fully put into words. To me, it felt like God was showing me that he was closer than I thought and that he never actually left my side. Psalms 34 verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit." Even when we feel distant, tired, or unsure, God is still close. Sometimes our feelings don't tell the truth, but God's word does. What this camp really reminded me is that when we feel there is a distance between us and God, it doesn't fully disqualify us from pursuing and receiving him. Feeling dry, unsure, or disconnected doesn't mean God is disappointed in us or far away. He is still waiting for us to give what we have. God is gentle and patient with us in those seasons. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That verse hits different after I saw a vision and a dream of a hand reaching out to me. It reminded me that God is always reaching for us, even when we don't feel strong ourselves. If you're ever in a place in your life where God feels quiet or far away, it doesn't mean he's gone. Sometimes he's doing like a deep sense of like, I don't really know how to put this into words. He's building our faith in him. And all it takes is a step towards him. One prayer, one moment of surrender, and he meets us right where we are. So if you're ever in a season where God feels quiet, distant, or hard to feel, I want you to know that you are not alone and you are not doing faith wrong. Sometimes the silence isn't God leaving us. Sometimes it's him inviting us deeper. Even a small step towards him matters more than we realize. I didn't realize this until the dream I had. I was reminded that God wants to walk with me every day, not just in big moments, but in everyday life. I walked into camp feeling dry and unsure, and I walked out knowing deep in my spirit God is near and God is real, and he is always working on me. So if you're waiting for a sign, a feeling, or proof that God sees you, he is reaching for you right now, and all you have to do is reach back. Thank you. I'll be passing to Shia.
Hey everybody, my name is Shia. I'm 13 years old and I'm going into 8th grade. At camp this year, it was incredible for me and I'm excited to share my experience with everyone. In the days leading up to camp, I was expecting and hoping to be able to connect with God even more and learn even more about him. At camp, I really enjoyed the sessions. My faith grew a lot over camp because I believe God showed himself to me. At one point in a session, Nick asked all the first generation Christians to step forward so everyone could pray for them, and this just amazed me how everyone had their arms stretched towards them and started praying for them. During every session, it was amazing to look around and see everyone at the altar in tears, just expressing how much they love God and how good he is to them. I believe that God showed me a vision of his hand over everybody in the room and the Holy Spirit above everybody's heads on the last session. For me, when I saw God's hand, I thought it was a sign that God was changing lives of people in the room, and I definitely think it changed me too. Some of my favorite parts of the sessions were the worship, because it really showed how passionate some people are about God, even if they feel embarrassed to go down front. I know a few people that didn't know if they should have come to camp in the first place, but by the end, I'm pretty sure they'll come back next year. After camp, I'm going to be reading the Bible more and listening to more worship music and praying every day. Overall, camp was amazing, and I would highly recommend it to anybody that didn't come. I also have Bible verses that I'd like to share to everybody that really stands out to me, and it might stand out to somebody else. Romans 5:8, and it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This stands out to me because God showed his love for us while we were sinning by dying. So don't pass up an opportunity to get to know Christ better. Thanks, everyone.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mieta, and I will be doing year 10 next year. I was reluctant to share my testimony from camp because I didn't feel I had a life-altering moment that dramatically changed my life on the spot. However, I felt a shift in my heart on camp, an overwhelming sense of peace that cannot be found in worldly material. To say this past year tested my faith would be an understatement. Shortly after the start of semester 2, around August 2025, I suffered from many episodes in which I was in and out of hospital 3 times over a 2-month period. I missed a large portion of school, friendships, but even worse, I lost hope that God was still listening and there for me. During that time, although I had many people with me and praying over me, I had not felt more scared and alone. While I knew in my heart God's plan is faultless, I didn't understand why I couldn't be healed like Bartimaeus or Lazarus, or even know if I was going to go through that suffering again. The scary thing is, you don't realize how separated you can be from him until you stop attending youth every week, only pray at the dinner table, and don't remember the last time you genuinely just asked for God's help. The consequences of these actions separated me from the truth. The New Testament holds many records of healing and fixing that of which is broken. John writes in John 21:25 that every one of them, his works, were written down. He supposed that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. During the year, I was so scared about what was happening in my life because I couldn't see God's provision working in and around me. As I remained committed to youth every week, the lies of the devil became impaired, because the guilt that the devil tries to make you feel for questioning Jesus can only go so far when you allow the truth to get in. That Jesus is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There aren't many words to describe the peace of the Spirit because it is so incomprehensible compared to the things that the world has to offer. Similar to how mere we are in comparison to the holiness of heaven and the holiness that was already in Jesus before he was in heaven. I think that the only other feeling I have experienced that can be resonated with the peace of the Holy Spirit is the joy of the Lord, in which all other false lies and things of the enemy disappear. On the Sunday evening of camp, I encountered the Holy Spirit. I didn't fall to my knees or start speaking in tongues, but I felt the warmth of God's love on my heart, and I knew he was working in my life and out to those around me. I had this amazing yearning feeling to share and pray for others. I didn't know how or why he would choose me to evangelize when I knew I was so broken, but he did. Jesus met me right where I was. Summer camp helped me find the role that Jesus wants me to play in lives around me, and for that reason, I haven't been more sure about my faith in him. Having experienced his unexplainable peace, I know that he will be with me no matter what happens this year. Thank you for listening. I will be handing over to Judah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Judah. Some things to know about me is that, one, I'm very tall, if you didn't notice already. I love basketball and footy because I've got to put my heart to good use. I'm heading into year 11 this year. This is my first time speaking in front of a large amount of people. It's kind of scary when you've got 600 people staring at you. So bear with me if I stumble or get lost. My story starts back in year seven. I really loved youth camp this year with the activities in the sessions. In year seven, I didn't really have much friends at all. I got bullied a lot by classmates for no particular reason, which was hard for me. There were some words that were said to me about my worth, which really impacted me and sent me into some dark places. I was playing a lot of sport outside of school, which happened on a Friday night, and I got injured. I had nothing to do, so my dad put me in the car and drove me to the nearest youth. At the time, I didn't want to go, but looking back, I'm so grateful, and it's planted a seed in my life closer to God. At the end of year seven, I went to youth camp, and the title was Belong, which was important to me to understand that belonging in things of God, not in friends of the outside of church, but what others say. Year eight was another hard year for me, as I had to go through surgery on both my feet, which would take 6 months to heal for each foot. During this time, I was disconnected a lot from things that I loved, including youth, which negatively impacted my growth with God. The title of the camp after year eight was Magnify, which spoke to me in recognizing God is bigger than my situations, and that we can grow and ask tough questions in Him. Year nine was a different year. I was finally building relationships at school and making progress, and then I had to move schools. I became angry about that, but still I had my main group of friends at youth and true relationships with people growing in their faith and leaders to talk about these things. I look back knowing that I was truly blessed to have a safety net every Friday night where I could go and feel included and learn about God. The title of the camp last year was Overflow, which was to me about allowing what I had at youth to overflow into other areas of my life. Things continued to get hard last year when early on some hurtful things were said about me that really hurt me as a person and my reputation. I felt like I wanted to run away from everything, but I was able to come back to youth each week and be supported. I was also blessed to go to Amari with my dad and learn about what God was doing around the world. Despite this, in the last 2 months of the year, I felt like I was drifting away from God. To youth, I was just coming to youth to see my friends. This was rock bottom in my faith, and I was not calling myself a Christian because I did not have the faith in God after what I had been through. Coming to summer camp this year, Heart Like Heaven, I did not really want to go because I was mad at God for the things that had happened to me. But my parents wanted a weekend to themselves, so what can you do? Next thing I know, I was on the bus to camp. The first night, Nick spoke, and I was not able to listen. I was blocking everything out. Nick's message really challenging for everyone in the room, and it kind of felt like I was getting cold. But I did not go up to the altar because I did not want to open up. The next message, I felt really sad and just wanted to break from everything that was happening on camp. So I went into my cabin and just started crying in my room. Tom, one of the youth leaders, came in and just listened to everything that I said was going on in my life, and did not judge, but cared for me and prayed for me over me and was there for support. I'm forever grateful that this happened. After I got prayed for, I felt freedom in my mind and was able to take a next step closer to God that night. Then I went to talk to Dan Woodcock to see my next steps were and to help me put a plan to read my Bible and grow in God's Word. The next day, I had a chat with Matt to talk about strategies to help stay positive in my mind. Later that night, my friends were going through their own challenges that they were trying to get over. I was able to support them, even if that was just to listen to them or to pray for them, just like the leaders were there to support me. A verse that stayed with me on camp was Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 12. For the plans I know I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and I will hear you. You will seek and find me when you seek me with all your heart. My last thing is what Nick said on the last night, which was to go share the gospel of God and go be a disciple. It does not matter the people if people don't like you because you're talking about God. My worth is in Christ, not in people. It matters that we are open and share the good news of Jesus. I felt called to share my testimony today and share what God has done in my life, which is the next step for me. Now I'm not afraid to share about my faith in sport clubs or school. It doesn't matter what people think of me. It matters what God thinks about me. Thank you. Now head over to Ian.
Hey, everyone. My name's Ian. And before I share my testimony, a scripture that resonated with me through camp was Romans 8:10. It says, Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. As a recent graduate of Oxley, going in, this was my final youth camp. One of my favorite parts of the camp was being able to spend time with my friends from youth before entering our adult lives, either free time or tribal wars, and just having fun. Also not having a curfew compared to the other youths. And although the tribal wars and the games were fun, the point of camp wasn't just to have fun, it was for our relationship with God. To me, Romans 8:10 perfectly encapsulated the spirit of camp. With so many youth dedicating their whole lives to Christ, it was amazing to see how God has moved in their hearts of our youth, especially in the encounter nights and the sermons Nick spoke about. God's love was everywhere in camp, and for me, encounter night was special. This is when I heard a calling from God to read his word more and pray more, and more often. As recently, it has not been in the forefront of my priorities. Also, Nick's testimony about a family not being Christian really spoke out to me. And being a first-generation Christian myself, having to come to Christ through Frontline and dedicate my life in a baptism in Frontline camp 2 years ago, it was a moment I could not forget. I could feel God's presence alongside me, as well as others, other first-generation Christians, as Nick, along with others, prayed for us as they laid their hands on us. Overall, this experience has encouraged me to be more open about my faith, not just to Christians, but especially to non-Christians, as you never know what could come out of it. Camp was unbelievable, unforgettable memory, and to those youth who are considering going to next year, I would highly recommend it. And I believe I'm handing off to Rachel.
Hello, everyone. If you didn't know me, my name is Rachel Jansen, and I've been attending Frontline since 2023. If I'm being completely honest, I wasn't sure if I should come up here today to share what God did on me during summer camp, because I felt like it wasn't big or grand enough to talk about. But when Matt was talking about sharing our testimonies from camp this year, I really felt that God was telling me that I needed to share my encounter with him. So after lots of prayer, I decided to be obedient to his voice and stand here today and share my testimony with you all. For the past year and a half, I've been having a constant battle with my mental health, from overwhelming anxiety to issues with my body image and thoughts of not being worthy or enough for anyone's love, but especially God's love. Every day I would wake up on the verge of panic attacks and like the weight of the world was dragging me down. I wasn't just physically exhausted, but mentally and spiritually exhausted. I was ashamed to tell anyone about this because I thought that they would see me as broken and hurt, not the girl that I really wanted them to see. As the year went on, I found myself slipping further and further away from God. Places like church and youth began to feel like a burden because I felt reminded of how broken I was. Back then, I didn't realize it, but the voice of the enemy became the only voice I was listening to. Instead of praying to God, I stopped praying to him altogether because I thought that he wasn't listening or he'd forgotten about me, that his voice would never reach me again. The days building up to camp were extremely hard for me because I was trying to put an excited face on for my friends as we always look forward to camp every year. But the voice of the enemy was still sowing seeds of doubt and insecurity into my mind to make me not want to go. But I went and tried to have an open mind, praying that God would speak to me during my time at camp. During the sessions, I felt that in every message that there was something that God was talking to me about, whether it was to put my identity in him, not the way I look, or to practice his peace, not the world's. I felt him tugging on my heart to come back to him. On the last night of camp, Nick asked for people who needed healing to go to the altar for prayer. And I haven't mentioned this, but I hate asking for help or prayer because I don't want it to change the way people view me. And I thought that this maybe wasn't something big enough to get prayer for. But I realized again that this was the voice of the enemy stopping me from getting the help that I really needed. So I walked up to the front, hundreds of insecurities running through my mind all at once. But as soon as my friends laid their hands on me and Izzy started praying for me, I physically felt a weight lift off me. I started uncontrollably ugly crying as she was freeing me from, as she was praying over me. I felt God taking everything from my mind that had me chained, freeing me from them. I got this picture in my mind of a little girl holding her hands up to her dad to get him to pick her up. And then it was me raising my hands in worship in the same position. When God embraced me into his arms, repeating the phrase, "You're not alone, you were never alone," over and over. It reminded me of how I needed to have a childlike faith in God, to trust him with everything inside of me, no matter what the world throws at me. Well, this made me cry even more as I realized that God had never left me. And the verse Psalm 55, verse 22 came into my mind. "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." It was then that I truly knew that God loved me and there was nothing that I could ever do or think for that to change. The song for camp, "Heart Like Heaven," really resonated me during my time on camp, especially after the Sunday night. The lyrics, "If you saw perfection, I'd die trying to reach it, but this broken heart is all you want," really spoke to me. You don't have to be perfect for God. You don't have to have it all together, because I certainly don't. But all he wants is you, no matter what that looks like. That is something that has taken me a really long time to fully believe with all my heart. The next day when I woke up was the first day in a really long time where I was happy. I thanked God for my life instead of wishing I was somewhere else. I used my words to praise him and speak life over me instead of death. God saved me that night in more ways than I could ever imagine. He has blessed me with such an amazing family and friends who love me for who I am, not what I am. I'm a fearfully and wonderfully made child of God, and I now know that I'm good enough for his love and forgiveness. Speaking this over myself has taken a really long time, as body image is something that I've always struggled with. The way I looked and what people saw of me became like a god in my life, and I obsessed over my appearance to try or seem perfect. But I'm just who God has created me to be, and that will forever be enough. I want to leave you all with a passage that we focused on during our time at camp, Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3. "So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things, for you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God." I want to encourage you all to look up to God. Don't dwell on the thoughts from the enemy. Don't let them suck the joy of Christ out of you. Don't look down. Look to God to find your peace, not your looks, money, or anything else. Because everything in this world will fade. You will have those moments of fear, doubt, and insecurity, but his love will never leave or forsake you. He is always there. Thank you for listening.
Wow. I hope we are all feeling encouraged as we listen to those amazing testimonies of what God did. I know I certainly am. And I am just here, I guess, to give you all, and obviously we heard lots already, a bit of a snapshot of what I shared at camp. And so we know what, as we hear those testimonies, what I shared. And I just want to say it was such a joy for me to be back at camp. And the last time I was there was back in 2022, so 4 years ago. We were very much still coming out of COVID and wearing masks. And so I very much enjoyed the freedom this camp gave me. And, you know, it was very special to be back. And you can sometimes forget how precious these times being away, away from just normal life, but it is such a valuable and rich time, and it was just so amazing. And it was funny, you know, when Matt asked me to share, I was pretty skeptical of what, you know, an old retired mother might be able to bring to, you know, such a cool bunch of teenagers. But as I prayed and sought God, I got some really clear messages and words from God. And it's always really exciting when that happens. And so I knew very much that God was going to move regardless of what happened. And the theme, which we've heard so much about already, Heart Like Heaven, was just a brilliant theme. And I honor Matt and his team for the vision that they had. And it's funny that Rachel ended with Colossians 1-3, because I wanted to just pop that on the screen. And that was very much our focus. And Colossians chapter 3 was, we went through most of that chapter and we kept coming back to it over and over again. And I'm not going to read it again because Rachel already did. But this is what we started on the Friday night with. And so we looked at what it means to be raised with Christ. That we, when we accept Jesus, that our old nature, our old self dies and we get a new life with Him. And that if that is us, if we have been raised with Christ, Paul is actually now telling us there's a new way to live. There's a new way to think, and this passage is for us. And so one of the things I also did was I shared this scripture in the Message passage because it gave a beautiful, or not a beautiful, but it gave a really clear picture. And I want to read that out. I don't have it on the screens. It says, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of us. And so on the Friday, I talked about what it means to be serious about the new life that we have in Christ. And if we're really serious about it, then we need to act like it. And one of the things that I said regularly throughout the camp was that our walk with God is our responsibility. No one else can walk out our faith for us. We're the ones that need to own it, that need to nurture it, that need to feed it. And obviously, we are surrounded by community that helps, but to take responsibility for our relationship with God. And being the first night at camp, being that we were in a different location to what we expected, I talked about being ready for heaven and being ready to encounter the God of heaven, being ready for heaven to invade our lives. And being ready means that we have a spiritual posture that is ready to receive what God wants to give us and it is ready to encounter God. And so we looked at what our spiritual posture might look like. Is it eyes to the ground, shuffling along, absorbed with everything that's right in front of us as the Message gave that picture? Or are we alert and awake and attentive and ready and hungry for all that God wants to do in our lives? And it's a great reminder for every single one of us, not just our young people, that if we are serious about this Christian life, then we need to act like it. Then we need to have a spiritual posture that allows God to continue to always move and speak in our lives. On the Saturday morning, we looked at then what Paul was telling us not to do. And that in the letter, in the letter that he was writing to the Colossians, that he was actually writing to a culture that was very much living in a pagan, so the Christians were living in a very pagan and immoral culture. And so just like he was giving them instructions, he also gives us instructions not to seek the things that are below, the earthly things. And although we live here on earth, what Paul is actually instructing us to do as Christians and followers is to have our hearts and our minds set on things above, set on heaven. But there was a tension. We looked at the tension there is living on earth, but actually having a focus that's heavenward, and the temptation to actually look down and to get absorbed with the things on earth because that's where we live and we're bombarded and we're reminded and surrounded by an earthly culture. And as we continue to read through Colossians chapter 3, we came to verses 5-8 where Paul gives some very specific things that he tells us not to get involved in or things that he's asked us to put away. And it says it up there. He says, put to death whatever is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And I brought a representation of our old life to camp. It was a mannequin that Matt found under the library at Oxley. And so thank you, Oxley, for that prop. And what I did is I actually put up all this stuff that Paul talks about in these passages, and we put it onto the old life, which was, you know, old Nick, not old age, but pre-Jesus Nick. Because Paul talked about this is the stuff that we once walked in. This is the stuff that once belonged to our earthly nature. But because we have died and resurrected and have new lives, we're to put that stuff away. And so it was a great visual just to realize where that stuff belongs. And we looked at the difference, obviously, in sin that just comes up because we are broken people living in a broken world. but the difference between living a lifestyle of habitual sin and not ignoring it, not suppressing it, not managing it, not justifying it, but actually treating it the way that Paul asks us to. And we looked at what it means to truly be repentant and the importance of actually not just being sorry and wishing that we didn't do what we did, but the scriptures give us a really beautiful example in the prodigal son and also in King David of what repentance looks like, that it is not just a sorry, but it's a change of direction. It's an internal radical change of mind and a change of heart. And so then the Saturday night was very much an opportunity, and you've heard about the encounter nights. It was an opportunity for people to bring their brokenness and to bring, I guess, the stuff that was weighing heavy on them into God, who loves his broken people and who wants to bring all of our brokenness to him, because he's a God that heals broken hearts. And it was a beautiful time of prayer and ministry and seeing God move. And then on the Sunday morning, again, we continued reading through Colossians. And this was very much, I guess, the good news that as we put off the old self, we actually put on the new self and we put on our new nature. And so I looked at what does it mean to set our eyes and our hearts on heaven, and how can we practically have heaven in us? We talk about the Holy Spirit living in us and we talk about Jesus in our hearts, but how do we live our lives on this earth with heaven inside of us? And I spoke about four things that we can do. And again, this is not just for young people, but this is for every Christian, that we need to remember that if we're going to live with heaven in us, that we need to, number one, remember our heavenly identity. Because in Colossians 3:12, Paul says, therefore, as dearly loved and holy people of God. And so we're called dearly loved and we're called holy. That is who we are. And there is such a struggle, again, it's not just in young people, but in all of us, to believe who God says we are. But the importance that we need to remember and remind ourselves daily of what the Word of God says about us, of what God says about us. And Rachel, you shared so beautifully on that. And I challenged everyone that the mirror that we need to be looking at to remember who we are is the Word of God. The Bible is the mirror that every Christian needs to look at to find out who we are. The second thing was to put on our heavenly clothes. And again, Paul continues in Colossians and he says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And that is what people need to see in us. People need to see the clothes that Paul asks us to get dressed in, but how quickly and how easily we can forget to actually put on our spiritual clothes every morning, and we all need to remember to put them on. The third thing was to get some heavenly habits, and I talked about the importance of spiritual disciplines in our life, and obviously the word and prayer and praise. And one of the ones that I talked a little bit more about in detail was the habit of thinking heavenly thoughts. And obviously the battle of the mind is something that, again, is a battle for every single person. And I gave the challenge, and I'll give it to you as well. What would our lives look like if every single one of us made Philippians 4 verse 8, where Paul talks about, think about whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, lovely, pure, commendable, excellent or praiseworthy. What would our lives look like if we made that way of thinking a habit? If every day we thought only the thoughts that Paul tells us we should think about in this passage, and we had a little letterbox, a little homemade makeshift letterbox that had all sorts of letters or thoughts in them, and we looked at that, even though we can't control the letters that get put in our letterbox, just like we can't control the thoughts that pop into our mind as we live in this earth, we can control the letters that we open and the letters that we throw away. And we can also control the thoughts that we meditate on and dwell on, and the ones that we reject that don't align with what the Bible says about who we are and what we're to think about. And the fourth one is that we should practice peace. Paul talks about in Colossians 3:15, letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And so we looked at, what does that mean? How can peace rule in our lives? And really, it means that peace rules as an umpire. Peace is the referee that decides all matters in our lives. And the Amplified explains it really well. Let the peace of Christ, which is the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. And we get that peace through a daily walk with Him, through intimacy and through having relationship with our Father on heaven. And then on Sunday night, and again, we heard lots talk about Sunday night. We wrapped things up in Colossians, and it was all around being on mission for heaven. And that we are all, again, every single one of us, are representatives of heaven. We are ambassadors for Christ. And if we're going to live with heaven in us, then we need to make sure that we represent heaven to the world around us. And so I talked about three things that we need to do. And the first one was to have a focus on eternity, to have a passion and a desire to see people in our lives saved and to know the gospel and to know the good news of Jesus Christ and the role that each of us play in fulfilling the great commission that Jesus gave us. The second one was to speak up for truth and the importance of being a voice that actually shares the truth of who God is in this world and in this generation. And we looked at in Matthew chapter 10 when Jesus sends out the 12 and he sends them out two by two for that practice run, you know, before they actually are on their own in Acts. And he gives them an amazing set of instructions in Matthew chapter 10. And one of the verses we looked at was when he said to them, "What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops." And so just the importance of actually being loud and being vocal with what we believe and what the truth is when we live in a culture of lies. But also for those of us who, and all of us sometimes get scared and nervous, well, how am I going to say it and what am I going to say and I won't know the words, but the promise that Jesus gives in that same chapter that we don't need to worry about what to say because it's the Spirit of God that will give us those words and to be able to step out in faith when we open our mouth knowing that God will speak through us. And the last thing was to have a spirit of courage. And Christians are called to be a courageous people because we're not going to be able to go and share truth. We're not going to be able to go and be on mission for heaven without courage and the importance of living life with courage in us. And when we look at Jesus, the way that he was able to fulfill the mission from his Father on earth was that he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. And the disciples in Acts were empowered through the Holy Spirit. And we too can live our life on mission for heaven with a spirit of courage when the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. And what probably blessed and encouraged me the most, and again was a highlight, was just that Sunday night. And I put the call out, well, who wants to be on mission for heaven? And who wants to live with a spirit of courage? And just every single person was just so hungry and keen to receive from God and say, yeah, I want that. I want to be on mission for heaven. I want to do what God wants me to do. And there was just such a beautiful spirit. And as we closed the night, and I did ask all the first generation Christians to gather together in the middle, we got all of the Christians that have grown up with Christian heritage and family to stand around them and pray and put their hands on them. And it was a beautiful picture of, again, just the unity and the body of Christ, that we need each other, that we need to support one another. And again, for you, church, as Matt has already said, you play such an important role in young people's lives and we are examples, but we need to continue to pray for our young people, continue to pray that everything that God did at camp will continue to be outworked as they go back to school and life. And so I think I've spoken for too long, so I'm going to get Pastor Andy to come up. But thank you so much, church. And can we just thank again the amazing boys and girls that gave testimonies, because we so appreciate your obedience and your courage.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.